Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Now, welcome in to the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody is doing well. Tough loss for the Titans last night. We'll get to that all show long. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We are out here live today in the Old Hickory area at a new Dunkin' location coming up at 14835 Lebanon Road. We're going to be out here all morning long. Robbie and Rex Road will be out here. Chase and Big Joe will be out here as well. And come on by. Well, they've got donuts ready that are made, coffee ready to go here. So come out, say hi. 14835 Lebanon Road out here in the Old Hickory area over close to Green Hill High School. So hoping to see some of you come out here today and check out Dunkin'. Like we said, Chase and Big Joe will be out here as well. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
Great. Good to be here. Good to be here at Dunkin'.
Good to be here at Dunkin'. And good game last night for the Titans. Titans come up on the short end of things last night. And obviously, that's what we're going to get to all show long today. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. The Titans fall last night 20-16, the final score in Pittsburgh. And, Joe, it was a game where obviously a lot of excitement heading into this one with Will Levis making his second career start. I thought, excellent first half from Will Levis last night. They're leading at halftime, 13-10, the score at halftime. And you get to the second half, and Pittsburgh has the long touchdown drive that eats up a lot of clock. And the Titans with a chance to go win the game with the final drive. They drive down the field, and an interception by Levis in the end zone kind of stalls things out and ends things there for the Titans. But overall, what did you make of Will Levis? What did you make of the Titans last night in the game against Pittsburgh?
Good and bad. Levis was good. Titans bad. I mean, it's really got to be discouraging for the Titans to let an offense that bad. For people who don't know, the Pittsburgh Steelers, I mean, they do have talent. They have good receivers. We've talked about that. I like their backs. They had a banged-up offensive line, and they have been bad offensively. And, frankly, I thought Kenny Pickett was bad last night.
Yep,
and
I agree. And
still, they let them just go up and down the field. Not up and down the field all night, but they let them go 92 yards on that drive, and most of it is just running the ball right down their throat. So not stopping the run, not affecting the passer, just terrible defense on the Titans. And I saw last night – lots of instances where, you know, we've talked about Kevin Byard not making a lot of plays. He hasn't made a lot of big splash plays downfield and stuff like that. Yep. He absolutely supports the run correctly and effectively, and my goodness, are they missing him. So that side of it, very bad. And right now they're on the verge of being irrelevant in the playoff race. But Will Levis was, I thought, really good. You know, the last drive, he threw the pick. He tried to throw a couple others. You know, the last one, you're forcing it. I mean, I would have liked to have seen him go to the corner there, you know, at least get it out of the middle of the field where you have so many defenders, get a little bit more isolated, paint the edges and see if you can drop one into, like, Chris Moore in the corner. But overall, I mean, Will Levis looked like a much better and more experienced, polished quarterback than Kenny Pickett last night under worse circumstances.
Yeah, I thought so too. Look, I thought in the first half especially, I thought he was excellent. I mean, the stat line, and we knew this would be the case, the stat line does not come close to reflecting, you know, what it did on Sunday with the four touchdowns and everything he did. He ends up 22 of 39, 262 yards, no touchdowns, did have the interception, quarterback rating of 66.4. But some of the throws he made in that first half and even early in the second half I thought were just excellent throws. And not only really good throws, Joe, but throws in the face of pressure. I mean, they had offensive linemen going down left and right all game long. I think every member of the offensive line got hurt at some point other than Brewer. Was everybody else went down at some point. Now, luckily, most of them were able to come back in there. But just, we knew it was going to be a tough night for the Titans in terms of the pressure that they generated, and T.J. Watt was causing problems, whether that was getting to the quarterback, whether that was penalties that he was drawing last night. And I thought through all of it, Will Levis hung in there and delivered the football with confidence. He stayed in the pocket, didn't get happy feet like we see young quarterbacks get sometimes. I mean, the when they're backed up in their own end zone, the throw he made to Hopkins, yeah, that's a heck of a throw that he made kind of across the seam there. That was an absolute dart from Will Levis.
No, that was big time, and he had one in the second half when they're holding on to the lead that he gets out to Burks. That was also a hang in right around your own goal line.
Yep.
And deliver a throw, and he was more open. I mean, the Hopkins thing, you know, you got a linebacker turned away from you, but he is tight, so you still have to drop that in perfectly with poise. And again, even down at the end, until they got, you know, to the point where they're taking shots in the end zone, couple absolute big time throws. Kyle Phillips, by the way, for people who have been barking about him, yeah, the guy can play a little bit, so. Yeah, look, overall, with Will Levis, there were a few rookie moments. I mean, I was taking notes and sort of like, you know, putting little asterisk, like, okay, that looked like a rookie QB, and I think it was like three times all night. So, you know, you think about, like you said, that offensive line, you have to go with Dillard, and Dillard just was bad.
Yeah.
Just cannot pass block.
No, I mean, it's just terrible.
So, you got Brunsko limping around. You got Petit Frere gets a shoulder, so Radins has to come in at right tackle. I mean, it's just – then Skoronski goes out. I mean, you have to have a snap or two with Jalen Duncan out there at left tackle. And already it was going to be a challenge, even if you had your full complement of players. It was going to be a challenge, even if you had Chris Hubbard, which they didn't have. So, first of all, I think actually if you look at the whole thing, there were at least some clean enough pockets, you know, given the circumstances. But also there were some really tight pockets that Levis stood in. And, you know, I mean, there were probably a couple times that Kirk Herbstreit pointed this out on the broadcast where you got to probably just get it out of there rather than take the sack. But still, I'll take a quarterback who's willing to stand in there in tight space and still step into throws. Because you just see so many guys at this position who eventually start bailing out of there, you know, or young quarterbacks who bail out of there immediately because they're just not comfortable. He doesn't look like that at all.
No, doesn't look like that. He looked very comfortable in the pocket. And, you know, I thought for the most part, you're coming out of this game, I think you got to be still very encouraged by what we've seen from Will Levis. Look, Joe, I think I was already there after the first game, and last night solidified it. He's got to be the quarterback the rest of the year. To me, the decision is made with some of the throws that he's making out there and how comfortable he looks. To me, Will Levis is now your quarterback moving forward. And I know, you know, Vrabel is probably going to play it up like they've got some decision to make next week and, you know, with Ryan Tannehill. Look, I assume Ryan Tannehill will be healthier next week. He may not be. Whenever Ryan Tannehill's healthy, Vrabel's going to play it up like they've got a decision to make. But to me, the decision has been made. It's Will Levis' show from here on out.
Yeah, and you're right. That's the thing. We've kind of been presuming, you know, like Tannehill will be back. That's not necessarily the case at all. They have this extra time now before the next game, but that doesn't mean that he's back for sure. And before you even seriously think about it, in the building, which I'm with you, they shouldn't. But even if you did, I wouldn't entertain it until Tannehill is like 100% healthy, right?
Yeah,
sure. I mean, you're getting more production right now out of Levis. Is it, you know, Vrabel playing it up public? Sure, why not? You know, I mean, I guess as long as you have that to throw at an opponent, whatever that means, if that means anything. Yeah, you know, we'll see how Ryan's doing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think Vrabel's going to declare anything like – and that'll tick some people off. I get it. That'll tick some people off. But I'm with you. And I really don't think they're going to be going back to Tannehill unless Levis gets hurt. I could be wrong, but I don't think they will. But I think a lot of – Vrabel will make it seem that way, and he'll play the game, and people will get mad at him. And maybe he likes people getting mad at him.
Officer Watson from Clarksville on the text line. By the way, taking your text today, you're having some technical difficulties with the phone. So taking your text today, 615-737-1025. Officer Watson says, Levis looked good, but he did miss Hopkins and Spears for touchdowns. I don't remember the Hopkins play that you're talking about, Spears was not a miss.
No,
Spears,
that was a perfect throw.
I don't know what Spears is doing backpedaling.
All of a sudden thinks he's a, Spears thinks he's a center fielder at the wall.
Yeah, I don't know what like, that was.
Just
there.
Keep running, yeah. Or you have to adjust. But you adjust and run to the outside. That's where Levis threw it. It's a touchdown. It's a
yeah. He keeps running. It's a touchdown.
And that is an absolute beautiful touchdown and touchdown drive. And who knows if the game turns out differently? I don't know what Spears was doing there. Yeah, I don't know the Hopkins. I'm not disputing that. You may be right.
I just don't remember the play.
The fourth and four where Burks got hurt, and thankfully Traylon Burks is okay.
Yep.
I mean, he walked on the bus and all that stuff went, you know. So, yeah, you got to be super careful in those situations. Thankfully, he's okay. But, I mean, on that play, Phillips, by the way, and thank you, Will. I will be breaking down all of Kyle Phillips' catches. But Phillips,
route by route,
you know, it's fourth and four, and he's wide open for a little slant. It's, you know, you move the chains and move on. That's a mistake.
Yep.
That Levis launched that one on fourth and four. I mean, that whole drive was. We'll get into it, I know, because there are a lot of things to nitpick on that drive. But, yeah, I mean, just Levis alone, the big picture here for Titans fans, to me, is that you should be excited.
I mean, I mentioned the Hopkins throw when they're backed up in their own end zone. The one where he threw it to NWI, where pressure's in his face, and he kind of lofted it over the top there on the right sideline. NWI comes down with it. You know, a good throw on basically like an in and out to Kyle Phillips along the sideline too. I mean, there were several throws last night, and Herb Street and Al Michaels, who Al Michaels at times last night sounded like he'd be rather be anywhere else than where he was on the broadcast. But they were talking about just the arm strength that he brings to the table. Look, I think a lot of people expected a big drop off from Levis, and I know statistically you'll look at it and you'll say, well, he threw a pick. He didn't throw a touchdown pass. It was a big drop-off from game one to game two. Joe, when I watched him play, it was probably a little bit of a drop-off just because they didn't connect on 65-yard bombs down the field. But other than that, like I didn't think there was much of a drop-off. Like I thought he looked pretty good for the most part.
I can make the case that this was a more impressive performance because he wasn't really affected much. Well, I shouldn't say that. He was affected. I mean, they pressured him 40% of the time, but it wasn't the same level, right, being on the road against a Steelers defense.
Right.
And he made a variety of – look, those bombs were beautiful. You know, those are great. And he threw some other passes that should have been caught and all that stuff. But in this game, I thought you saw the whole – you saw the entire menu of throws you have to make as a quarterback. And I thought he did every one of them. And just touch and zip and being able to have the arm strength at times to not be able to step into a throw but still get it out to a spot. I could make the case this is more impressive. I mean, I guess it's hard at the end, you know, the pick. Like, you'd like to see a less desperate throw on the pick because you do have one more shot there.
Right.
You could make a little bit safer throw and take one more shot at the end zone. You know, that wasn't great, but it was close. It's very close, I think, comparing the two performances. Both of them, to me, bring a lot of encouragement. Ben says that someone at a Wings place, they were mad and saying Tannehill would have won us that game.
Oh, right.
Hey,
go.
It's good to see the variety of opinions.
I agree.
You know?
I agree. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our text line is open, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll take your thoughts on Will Levis. What did you make of Levis's performance last night in his second career start? More on that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Make your silly underdog picks today for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app as we approach week 9 of college football, week 8 of the NFL. Silly underdog picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Nick Kieser live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad out here at Duncan in Old Hickory. 14835 Lebanon Road. We'll be out here all morning long. Chase and Big Joe will be out here as well. Taking your thoughts on the Titans. They lose 20-16 last night to the Steelers. They fall to 3-5 on the season. Will Levis, another good performance. 22 of 39, 262 yards. No touchdowns. Did have the one interception at the end of the game. Overall, we think pretty good performance by Will Levis last night. We'll take your thoughts on that on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So I'm watching him play last night, Joe, and the one thing that I did think he was probably guilty of a little bit too much, which is understandable given the connection they had last week, I did think there were a couple plays where there was a little bit of, I don't know if predetermining is the right word, or just staring down DeAndre Hopkins. And like I said, I get it. I'd be throwing the ball to DeAndre Hopkins a lot too, but I did think there were a few times last night where it looked like he predetermined that he was throwing the ball to Hopkins before the snap ever took place, and maybe in retrospect that wasn't the right place to go with the ball on that particular play. But overall, like I said, I thought he was really good. The second to last drive really bothered me for the Titans. And you brought up the fourth down play. They go deep to Burks there. Burks gets hurt. Thankfully, like you said, it looks like he's going to be okay. But right before that, I mean, you got the reverse to Burks earlier in that drive. You're running the ball. You have the third and four run right up the gut, which just got absolutely stuffed on that play. And I just thought that was way too conservative of play calling going on that drive there. And it's not like time was a huge factor. Like, you still had plenty of time to drive down the field had you picked up that first down if you're the Titans. But I just thought a really, really poor drive there from a play-calling standpoint from Tim Kelly, and I thought there was way too much conservative play-calling going on that drive.
Yeah, I agree. Look, Kaharski did a lot of asking about this last night after the game, and I think I might disagree with people a little bit on the first half one, which is another one where, third down, you could have taken one more shot. They ran it. They kicked the field goal.
Yeah.
Levis was cooking at that point. I mean, but I understand the idea there. He's still a rookie. Like, they still know he's a rookie. They've seen a lot of, things of him in practice. You still want to make sure you get those points. At that point, you think your defense probably, make a play.
Yeah.
When it matters. But that drive, I also understand what Vrabel was saying about third and four, because if you know you're going on fourth down, then a lot of teams do this. Maybe you can pop a little run, Spears, you give them a little space, and that can work out for you. So I get that. But when you look at the whole thing, you got the reverse pitch thing to Burks, who is limping after that. He had limped earlier, by the way, so he's limping. They're looking at his knee, and then he has the other injury later, which
yep. –
I don't know exactly what it is, but what a night for him getting hurt. But you have that. Then you have Henry, gets a yard.
Yep.
So you get to third and four, and then you do that play. So the whole play, you get it at your own 48, and you don't let Will Levis throw the ball until it's fourth and four.
Right.
And then he throws a low percentage bomb to a covered Burks instead of just getting him. I mean, so overall – yeah, you look at the whole thing, and it's like, man, at some point on first, second, or third down, I'd say maybe let your quarterback throw a pass.
Well, yeah, and look, I do – part of me understands it's third and four, you're going for it on fourth down anyway, so you can run it up and see what you can get there. And if you don't pick up the first down, maybe it's fourth and one. I mean, you could also pick up the first down on third down by throwing the football, and then you don't have to get the fourth down.
Yeah,
so, I mean, there's
true.
I did not like the way that the Titans handled that. Now, to their credit, they turned the ball over on downs. They had the 2-minute warning to their advantage. So it was a 2-minute warning, two stops of the run, and a timeout. And so you had one timeout when you got the ball back. And they drove the ball down the field, had a chance to win the game at the end of the game. So they did have another crack at it. But I just thought the way that they managed that drive was a disservice to Levis, and really, I mean, a disservice to their chances of winning the game. I mean, if you're gonna play him, you gotta have a little bit more trust in your quarterback than that. And to that point, I don't think that Levis had given them a reason not to trust him to that point. So I thought the three opening play calls there to run the ball were a joke by Tim Kelly.
Yeah, you can't wait until fourth down in a game with less than 4 minutes to play with fantastic field position, before you throw a pass.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can take each one of those and say, the Burks play, actually he did a pretty good job, I think, to get 5 yards. That could have been bad.
I thought they're going to lose about eight when he first got it.
Yeah. Some of the trick play stuff. And especially, I feel like when they get in the red zone, it's like they feel like they have to do something. And I mean, when's the last time one of those really worked?
Right.
I mean, if talking about the big picture with Tim Kelly here, and they had the graphic last night, and I think the Titans now are I think TD tweeted out the latest stats of where they are in the league. Third worst, I think. Are they third worst in the league?
It's not good.
In red zone, again, a team that has been absolutely fantastic there, you know, in the last few years. That's one thing that you can – that's the first thing Vrabel said when people wanted to fire Todd Downing 2 years ago is, you know, he's talked about red zone. I mean, they're at 35% right now. That's third worst. So, yeah, like he said, they were the best for a four-season stretch combined of 70. They've cut that in half. That is absolutely a huge issue. It's a huge OC issue that Tim Kelly has got to figure out. So, and certainly, I'm sure, you know, personnel limitations are part of that, but that's just terrible. And this team, they're not going to win at any level, at any significant amount to try to get in the playoffs if you can't do better in the red zone. Nick Folk makes every field goal. Good for him.
He does.
But he's taken way too many of them.
Well, I mean, look, I agree. Personnel limitations are part of it. You do still have Derrick Henry, and you have Spears, who I think could be a good red zone weapon, and you have DeAndre Hopkins. Like, there are places to go with the football, and they got to figure out how to be more efficient in the red zone, or they're not going to have a chance to move forward. Like, you know, look, it's a rookie quarterback going on the road in that environment, which, by the way, like, Renegade went down and that crowd got amped up, and Levis, the next play, like, immediately silences them by throwing, I think it was that the Chris Moore play where he ended up with like 29 yards. And I was like, okay, so this kid's not intimidated by the environment, not intimidated by the circumstance. I didn't anticipate Joe getting to the show today and the Titans losing the game and Levis being not even anywhere near my reasons of why they lost the game.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I think is a credit to him.
By the way, that was actually Burks.
That was the Burks.
Crossing at the 29. You're like, hey, trailing Burks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apologies to Officer Watson, by the way. You're absolutely right. I don't know how I forgot that. They scored on the next play, so it doesn't matter. But, yes, Hopkins was breaking in the back of the end zone, and Levis has to see him and get it to him. He kind of had decided to tuck and run. But on the next play, Henry got in. So, but, no, exactly. The Titans lose this game. I mean, if you told me going in, yeah, Will Levis will flat out outperform Kenny Pickett and be the better quarterback, then I would not have picked them to lose the game. That's for sure.
I got a texture that says, one of my friends said, the run pass on the second to last drive. Terry Rubisky would be so happy. This is from Jeremy from Cookeville.
Actually, Jeremy, it's run.
Yeah,
you got to
have that fourth one in there.
That's right, run pass.
Yeah.
Yeah. All three of those plays can't be runs. I mean, that's like somewhere in there, you got to let Will Levis, who had played just fantastic up to that point, make a play. And look, fourth down, he's got to get it short to Kyle Phillips, move the chains, move on. So that's on him, but you put him in a spot where the only chance he had was on fourth down.
Do we want to talk about how Billy Jeans has now made its way to Ian Rappaport? Jamie Erdahl and all the NFL crew?
How exciting.
It's spreading like wildfire.
What bothers me is, like, he said that, and you tweeted me, you're like, uh-oh, you know, we have fun with it. And there's some people on Twitter like, oh, this is so awesome. Whoa, Ian Rappaport, oh, yeah. I don't know why I sounded like Randy Macho Man Savage there, but thank you, Ian Rappaport, for joining the Billy Jeans party. Jamie Erdahl, even late last night, is tweeting about Billy Jeans. Like, she's into it, man.
Yeah,
so,
why
would
you not be?
Make it happen.
Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits this Saturday for MTSU football. The Blue Raiders will kick off at 5 o'clock on the road against New Mexico State. Pre-game beginning at 4 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3 Classic Hits. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans. Now falling to 3-5, what does this mean for the Titans the rest of the season? With a long week now to prepare for Tampa Bay, potentially Ryan Tannehill getting a little healthier. We'll get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Titans fall last night 20-16 to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and now are at 3-5. So, Joe, had a chance to win last night, could have gotten to 4-4, and if you get that win, then I think you're looking around and you're saying, all right, the rookie quarterback has come in. You've won two in a row. You have opportunities coming up that are winnable. You know, Tampa Bay, I know you're going on the road, but Tampa Bay is certainly a winnable game for the Titans. Then you've got a showdown with Jacksonville after that. And you start to think about maybe what could be for this team, this season, all those things. I mean, those things aren't completely dead now, but 3-5, you're in a tough spot as it relates to the division race, as it relates to the wild card race in the AFC. We know how loaded the AFC is. So how damaging is that loss for the Titans? And what do you think this means for the Titans moving forward? Yes, with Levis, but also with just their approach as they move forward here. They get through the trade deadline. You know, Kevin Byard's the only one that they move. I did think there were times where they certainly missed Kevin Byard last night. We're going to get into the defensive side of things at 7 o'clock because this defense is just such a far cry from what I thought they could be this year, and it's depressing to watch. But we'll get into that coming up at 7 o'clock. But just the record itself, how damaging is that loss for the Titans last night?
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely damaging. It's also amazing that Pittsburgh is 5-3.
It really is.
They've been outgained every game. You know, they come in, you know, they come in just with a lot of bad numbers. And I look at their offense last night. I look at Kenny Pickett. And credit to him, he made a few throws on the winning drive, so that matters. But boy, he just misses throws you can't miss.
He does.
I mean, they had George Pickens,
Kenny Pickett playing slot.
Yeah. But they had him at just an easy little crosser, and he's off down the sidelines, and he just sails it. So
sail one on Deontay Johnson. He sailed three or four in that game.
So now you think about the AFC play, because look, at this point, Titans are 3-5, the Jags are 6-2. They have two games with them, so okay, but I think you have to be – if you're thinking playoffs, it's got to be more in the realm of wild card. Well, let's see. They've played the entire AFC North.
Yep.
They lose a tiebreaker to the Ravens. They lose a tiebreaker to the Steelers. They lose a tiebreaker to the Browns. They win a tiebreaker to the Bengals. I'm not sure that'll matter. That might matter.
I'm not sure it will.
It might matter, but I think the Bengals look like they're about to take off. And the Ravens, I think the Ravens and Bengals. But with the Steelers or Browns, those are two prime teams they're going to be competing with for a spot.
Yep.
And they lose both tiebreakers. That hurts. You know, you look around the rest of the – I mean, the West is bad after Kansas City, and they do have a tiebreaker with the Chargers. The, you know, the East, I mean, you're going to have the Bills in, right? So, you know, who's your prime competition? I mean, if you looked at it right now, who's in the playoffs right now? I mean, you know, Ravens, Jags, Chiefs, Dolphins, right? They're all 6-2.
Yep.
And obviously the Bills are in, okay? I'm going to say this: the Bengals are in. That leaves one spot. Well, now you're two games behind and really three games behind the Steelers for the last spot.
Right.
I mean, the Steelers are actually ahead of the Bengals now, but I don't care.
The Bengals are looking pretty good.
So it doesn't look great, okay? Now, I will say this, and I haven't looked at the Steelers' whole schedule, but with that Titans schedule, it's still to the point where if you can win the next game, which to me is like if you don't, then I think you just start thinking about next year. Well, you go to Jacksonville after that, so, hey, you know, you could revive yourself. But
did you know they were 3-7 last year and then ended up winning the division? I've heard that.
Thank you. Yes. Well, if you can count on the Jags completely bottoming out like the Titans did last year.
What are the chances they fire their general manager in the middle of the year?
And Trevor Lawrence gets hurt. That also has to be part of the equation. But – If the thing is, again, beat the Bucs, you get to 4, right? Okay, so let's just play it out. Let's beat you beat the Bucs, get to 4-5, lose to the Jags, you're 4-6. Panthers at home, Colts at home, Texans at home, Seahawks at home, at Texans. That's 5 games you absolutely can win. How many is that? That's 9.
Oh, okay. I got the Colts in there too at home.
I said that. So Panthers, Colts at home, Texans at home, Seahawks at home, at Texans. There's
5 right there.
That can get you to 9. I'll just go ahead and count that at Miami on a Monday right now.
Yeah.
This defense,
that's not going to go well.
Okay, but you're still at 9. I mean, if the Titans beat the Bucs, it's absolutely realistic for them to be at 9-7 with the Jags coming in here. It will not be for the division because the Jags will have won it by then.
Correct.
I believe that. But potentially 9-7 and still in the playoff race. Again, I don't see how – and that's – taking a lot of liberties with five wins, beating the Colts, beating the Texans both times, all that stuff. But those are, like, Seahawks, good team. I mean, what are the Seahawks? Seahawks are 5-2. They're coming in here. But I mean, the Titans are also 3-0 and look like a totally different team in this stadium, and they're 0-5 away from this stadium.
They haven't won a road game since November 17th of last year.
The playing from Green Bay
is the last time they won a road game. I mean, we're approaching a full calendar year since the Titans have won a road game, which is amazing. Now, they've had some moments this year on the road where they've just looked absolutely horrid. And, look, it was a good game last night. They were in it the whole time.
It was improvement.
It was better on the road. But it's amazing that it's been almost a calendar year since they've won a road game.
Yeah. And this is going to be, in the end, when they don't make the playoffs, I mean, we are going to look back at this one because right now they could so easily be 4-4 and have the tiebreaker over the Steelers for the last spot, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just going to be real tough. Although, let's look at the Steelers. Ooh, Packers. They do still have to go to the Browns, and they have to go to the Bengals. You know, they play the Bengals twice still. They go to the Seahawks. They go to the Ravens. Yeah. And they're not very good. So it's not like it's hopeless. You look at the Steelers' schedule, I can find quite a few L's on it. But then again, you know, around here we talk about the Mike Vrabel special. I mean, the Mike Tomlin special is a thing, man.
Yeah.
He has, the Mike Tomlin seasons are a thing. You know what I mean? The guys, it's amazing how he can figure out ways for them to win games when they still have so many flaws.
Well, look, and I'm watching them play last night, and I'm like, well, Kenny Pickett, not that good. The thing that really kills me about the game last night, and again, we're going to get into the defense coming up, but Pittsburgh hasn't been able to run the ball all year. And then all of a sudden, against your team that's supposedly good at stopping the run, which I'm beginning to believe less and less, they just run all over you last night. And, you know, Pittsburgh, they're 5-3, as you said. I don't think they're very good. Like, I'm watching Kenny Pickett play, not just last night, all year. Like, he's missing a lot of throws. You know, the Titans, for whatever reason, the Pittsburgh offensive line has been not very good all year, and the Titans made them look good last night. It was amazing to watch all this happen. So, again, to your point, credit to the Steelers, credit to Mike Tomlin. I think he's a really good coach. But I do think in some ways that was a huge missed opportunity for the Titans last night with your rookie quarterback, you know, playing well enough to win. I thought he played well enough to win last night. And at some point, you need your veteran players, whether that's on the offensive side of the ball or certainly on the defensive side of the ball, to step up and help your rookie quarterback. And not enough guys were able to do that last night, which is really disappointing.
Yeah, no, it's – you know, I don't know where they're going to end up. They were already going down, you know, in this way, although they played well against the Falcons. Relatively well, but you know, they came in right middle of the league in rush defense and a little bit better than that in yards per play, and they played a team that can't do it. And so when this weekend's over, the Titans are probably going to be right around in the 20s in rush defense. So red zone offense, rush defense, two things that have been staples
that have
just completely eroded here.
Yeah,
and that, there you go. You got a 3-5 football team.
Well, I am curious because the text line for Levis today has been very positive, which deservedly so. He's played really well through two games. Like, if you're watching the game last night as a Titans fan, like, how much are you – like, what's the balance between being hurt and upset by the loss but also deep down kind of excited by what you've seen from the quarterback for the first 2 weeks of him playing and what that could mean for them moving forward? Because ultimately, I think we all know this team is certainly not a Super Bowl contender. They're probably not a playoff team this year. But the quickest path to getting back there is for Will Levis to be great. And look, it's two games. I'm not convinced that he's great yet. But very encouraging two games from Will Levis that we've seen to this point. So I do wonder, like, if you're a Titans fan today in the aftermath of the loss, is it a normal feeling loss to you? Or are you looking around and saying, you know what? Yeah, the loss sucks. We wish we would have won the game. But, man, we're excited about Will Levis and what that could be as you move forward here.
Yeah, well, if you're a Titans fan who's more on the side of sell, 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 and even, you know, what was it, Ron yesterday? Like, I don't care. Like, lose and tank and get a high pick or whatever, then I guess you're just thrilled today. Yeah. You lost, and your rookie quarterback looks good.
You look around and say, it just depends. Marvin Harrison Jr. and Will Levis next year.
Yeah. How about that? That'd be fun to watch. Matt, tell you what, or Xavier Worthy from Texas, get the fastest guy you can, because apparently Levis can air it out like Joe Milton.
I guess so.
You know, but that's a good question. I just think it's how you look at this. But still, you got 10 games left. I mean, you don't want this to just be a slog of, you know, get the rookie quarterback ready for next year, do you? I mean, I guess some do. They like the draft more than the season. You know?
Yeah.
But I will say, you're right, positivity on the Texan, but Tom and Franklin says, would your take on Levis's performance change if the refs hadn't blown the play dead when he did the Carson Wentz-style backwards pass that was ruled a sack? That was very much a rookie.
That was very much a rookie play.
But to answer your question, as I texted Tom, no. I mean, all the other plays and passes he made were still part of the game. I mean, overall, he was overwhelmingly good versus bad. He had a few rookie moments for sure.
Well, and look, I don't know how to quantify what I'm about to say, but I think you're with me, and I think you know what to talk about, what I'm talking about. Like, it's sometimes you watch a guy play, and there are things that he does at the quarterback position, throws that he makes, decisions, all those things, and you say, yeah, that guy's got a little bit of the it factor, right? Like, Will Levis, to me, has got a little bit of the it factor. And that, look, that's no guarantee that he's going to work out and that he's going to be some great quarterback that is going to be here for the next 12 to 15 years for the Titans. It's been two games. But there have been a few throws that he's made through those two games where you're like, yeah, I don't recall seeing anybody around here being able to do that. And I'm talking McNair, I'm talking Vince Young, Mariota, Tannehill, whatever quarterback you want to talk about. There's a level of arm strength that he brings to the table and some of the different platform throws that he can make, off-platform throws, that we hadn't seen around here at the quarterback position.
Headline, Robbie Stanley says, Will Levis, greatest quarterback in Titans history after two starts. That's good to know. I appreciate it.
I know that Ian Rappaport is probably listening to our show intently after discovering Billie Jean's last night, and maybe he'll go with that today.
A lot of it is intangible. I mean, first of all, the whole personality thing, I think that that's just teams being, again, it's like Kayvon Thibodeau. There was something with Levis too, but there's something with Kayvon Thibodeau about taking a bag of chips.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who gives a crap when he sacks a quarterback three times in the game like he did last time? You know, like, these guys just they fall all over themselves trying to find flaws. They also are trying to, you know, the agents are trying to sabotage other clients, all that crap. My question with Will Levis, it's not like it's totally answered, but it's just accuracy, because I just thought, at Kentucky last year especially, I just thought he was so errant in some plays. But you know what? How much was him being injured?
Yeah.
I don't know. All I know is, imagine that guy with protection and actual good receivers, the way he's playing right now. If you can just duplicate this, because his command, they don't get delay a game. The command at the line is not rookie-like. That also speaks to, again, a dude who, like, I figured that he'd be really good at studying, being ready and prepared and all that stuff. But still, can you perform? Right now, the accuracy is really impressive.
More of your thoughts on Will Levis and the Titans coming up next. 615-737-1025, our phone number. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tomorrow at 6:45 for our college football game of the week. LSU taking on Alabama, presented by Twin Peaks. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks for scenic views of all the hottest college football games across the country and home of the 29-degree beer. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans. Titans lose last night 20-16 to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They dropped a 3-5 on the season. Your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So you mentioned the accuracy with Levis. I agree. It's been very impressive to this point. How much credit do we give to what we've seen from Levis through two games to Charles London and Tim Kelly? I've talked about Tim Kelly today. Was not a big fan of that second-to-last drive. Didn't think he called that one very well. I am looking at Will Levis, though, and, you know, we'll see. Still a two-game sample size. We'll see if the accuracy maintains, you know, what it's been through those two games. It's been very impressive to this point. What do we make of the Charles London, Tim Kelly part of this? And, you know, a lot of Titans fans, and we've heard from these people on our text line, Joe, of, Vrabel, this system, they can't develop quarterbacks. Will Levis is looking pretty darn good right now through two games.
Yeah, well, I think that's a good point. I think that you have to give those guys credit. I think it's also – it's some of what we've talked about, which is this week, which is you can practice and film and talk and meet and all that stuff, and let's see it in a game, good or bad. What's the reality? Sometimes guys go out there and it's like, wait, this is not what I saw in practice. Why is he making this mistake and that mistake? And sometimes it's like, oh – he's got total command. So yep. I think that's part of it. I think those guys absolutely deserve credit, and I think that they obviously figured out a way to, during those weeks, you know, early in the season when Levis is kind of relegated to QB3 and he's inactive on game days, those reps they got Monday night, I mean, that stuff obviously mattered. And I think, again, it also – I mean, we got to remember how much camp he missed. Maybe this becomes more apparent in preseason game 2 and 3 if he gets half of those games like he was going to.
Yeah.
But I'm not even sure about that. I mean, this is another, to me, great example of how just preseason football is just people out there in uniforms running some basic plays, and actual football is – very, very specific game plans. And if you're really good at studying and digesting that stuff and applying it to specific situations and you're calling protections. He made a couple mistakes calling protections last night too. That was pointed out one time. Like he had to – I think it was one of the sacks. He needed to shift it to Watt and he didn't. You know, yep. So it's not perfect. But overall, the command and all the stuff that goes into an actual game plan against an opponent, it's the preseason is not that at all. So I think that's all something you got to keep in mind. But, yeah, I think London and Kelly deserve some credit. I mean, Pat O'Hare still working, too, with quarterbacks, too. Whoever all is in, all the cooks in the kitchen there, they've done good work. I'd still say all those guys can do all the stuff they want. And they've worked with Willis too, right?
Sure.
So that it's just like, okay, what's he going to do when he gets out there? And he's got
strays from Rex Road.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, you know, they worked with him too. I mean, so yes. You know, I think that there is some level of like, man, what's going to happen when he gets out there? And I think the thing with Levis that I like also, along with the poise and all that stuff, and just most of what he did last night, like the competitiveness too, you know. Yeah, and if he's going to be this good, he's going to be one of the most punchable faces in the NFL for opponents and opposing fans, right? But if that guy's on your team, you love that.
Coy in Clarksville on the text line says, excited to see Levis with playmakers next year and ran with $100 million in free agency. Chip from Mount Juliet on the text line says, Levis was impressive in spite of the offensive line. Hope he could stay injury-free the rest of the year until changes can be made. This is the worst offensive line I've seen any team have in many years. This is from Chip from Mount Juliet on the text line.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, as some have pointed out, like, I would agree with this. Like, I still think the offensive line for the Titans was better than the defensive line last night.
I agree.
I mean, certainly,
which is amazing.
Certainly relative to expectations and relative to investment, right?
Oh, yeah.
I thought, like, as bad as it was last night with all the guys getting hurt and everything, I mean, Dillard is just a liability. And I've seen some pessimism on that too. It's like, great, they got this quarterback, but are they going to support him? Are they going to make good choices? That's a fair question, because Dillard was a bad choice. But I actually thought, given all the challenges and the injuries and everything, they did okay. I mean, they did give him some opportunities to throw the ball last night. You tell me all those things are going to happen before the game, and I might tell you Levis is sacked 14 times.
yes, for sure. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan this Saturday for Vanderbilt football. Commodores kicking off at 3 o'clock at home against Auburn, with pregame beginning at 1:30. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Coming up next, we'll get into the defensive side of the ball for the Titans, which was very disappointing last night in Pittsburgh. We'll take your thoughts on that as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing, another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.